Well, hello, everybody. Hello again. So our verse for today is John chapter 6, verse 23. If you have your Bible, you can flip there to John chapter 6. And the verse for today is this. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And this is one of those verses where you're like, oh, seriously, Pastor, you're going to preach on that one? It's like, yeah, this one is awesome. I hope you'll see that, because it is a super exciting verse. At least I found that it was super exciting. And the reason is because it exactly what it is that John decided to zoom in on, what he decided to focus in on. And as we get into the story that led up to this verse, I think you'll see it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Why did John, in kind of looking back to what had happened earlier, why was it that he said that this was the important stuff, or that this was what he wanted to use to point back? So before we get into this verse, into John chapter 6, verse 23, we've got to back up a little bit to the beginning of the story. This story starts with Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, right? So he's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And people have been hearing about him. He's been doing some miracles, doing some cool stuff. And so people have been coming just to hear what he has to say, to see what he's going to do, to see if he's going to do any more healings, to see what's going to happen. And so Jesus is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and about 5,000 people, about 5,000 guys, more than 5,000 people show up there. Right? You remember this story. This is the one where he feeds them all. And it's like, awesome, thank you, Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 10. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick, right? So people were following because they saw these signs that he'd been doing. They saw the stuff that was going on, and so they were following him, and they came out to see if there was going to be any more of this. And then Jesus says to the disciples, he's like, hey, we've got to feed these people because they're getting hungry, and what are we going to do, right? And then you remember the story. The disciples find this young kid, and he's got 5 barley loaves, and he's got 2 fish, and they say, well, this is all that we've got here. And so then Jesus takes that, and he gives thanks, and they distribute it to the over 5,000 people, and there's enough to feed everybody. John chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And I love this because it's this picture of being fed and getting as much as you want. It's like if you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, right? And the all-you-can-eat buffet is always a thing that I struggle with because it's not all you can eat. It's all you want to eat, right? And so here it's the same thing. It's like everybody was given as much as they wanted to eat. And they had that satisfied feeling when they were done. They were satisfied and fed and well-fed and nourished. Just from these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 fish. And then afterwards, Jesus says to the disciples, hey, gather up the remainder, because we don't want it to go to waste. And so they gather everything up that's left over. And the Bible tells us that there was 12 basketfuls left over from the from the pieces of the barley loaves. And then it says Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. Well, that evening, the disciples, they get into a boat, and they start sailing across the Sea of Galilee there. And they get out about halfway across, 4 or 5 kilometers across. And a strong wind and these big waves start coming in, right? They're stuck in the middle of the lake. They're getting scared. And they don't know what to do. Well, then Jesus comes out, right? Walking on the water. Because that's what Jesus does. And he gets close to the boat. And he gets into the boat. And then they arrive in Capernaum, where they were going. And they go to sleep, presumably. Well, the next day, the people that are still on the other side of the lake, I don't know where they slept or how that all worked out, but the next day, everybody on the other side of the lake, they wake up, they get up, and they look around, and they're like, well, where's Jesus gone? He's not here anymore. They know that there was one boat, and they know that the disciples left on that one boat, and they also know that Jesus didn't leave on that one boat. So they're like, well, what's going on here? Where's Jesus? Why isn't he here? And then some people from, and I don't know how the story all works out, but for some reason, some people, again, from the other side of the lake, from Tiberias, they jump in their boats. They come over to the other side of the lake to see Jesus, I guess. They get there. Jesus isn't there. And then the crowd, many people from the crowd, jump into those boats, and they head back across the lake, and they all meet up in Capernaum, where Jesus had and the disciples had gone. They find Jesus there, and then Jesus starts teaching them. And then when they find him, Jesus explains that he actually is the bread of life, right? So this big miracle, this thing that he just did, he tells them, hey, this is all about me, because I am the bread of life, he says. But before he starts teaching them, we get before the crowd jumps back in these boats to go back across the lake, when all those boats from Tiberias come across the lake and are on the other side where Jesus isn't anymore, that this is when we get to John 6, verse 23. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And the reason why this verse just hits me, and I don't know if it has the same effect on you, but the reason why it hits me is because if I was telling this story, then I would probably say something like, Jesus went across, and then this other boat came over. The other boats from Tiberias came near the place where Jesus had just done this awesome miracle and taken all this food and divided it, and it had been enough to feed the 5,000 people, right? But that's not what John says. John says they came to the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. It's like this. Imagine if you're invited over to your friend's house for dinner, and you show up there, and you come through the door, and your buddy's like, hey, welcome, I'm glad you're here, you know, come on in, let's have some dinner. And you sit down, and your buddy's like, well, where's the dinner? And your buddy's like, well, I thought you were feeding me, you invited me over, right? It's like, well, I thought you were bringing dinner, and there's this awkward thing, everybody's hungry. And then the guy that lives there says, well, let's just check in the fridge. You open the fridge, and there's a bun and maybe a piece of meat, right? And so he takes that out. He's like, why don't we just give thanks for this? I mean, even this is a blessing from God, right? So they give thanks for that, and they start breaking up the bread, breaking up the meat. Next thing you know, there's this big roast beef dinner, and everybody eats up, and they're all thankful, and it's all awesome. Well, then the next day, your friends take off you leave the house, and the next day, somebody says, hey, what did you do last night? Right? And you're like, oh, I went over to my buddy's house, and we had a delicious dinner. We gave thanks, and then we had a delicious dinner. Right? And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Anything else? No, we played a game after. That was about it. It's like, that's not how it would go down, is it? You'd be like, yeah, I went over to my friend's house, and he took a bun out of the fridge and a piece of meat, and then next thing you know, we gave thanks, and there was this big, huge, awesome meal, and we're like, thank you, Lord. God is good, hey? And you'd just be praising God and saying how awesome he is. And so I don't know what John was thinking when he wrote this, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit did want to, there was certain stuff that he wanted to highlight. And if you read this whole passage, you'll see that the signs and the wonders, they're like a tool that Jesus uses in order to get our attention. But the real message, he's the real message, and the real message is about this bread of life. And so I believe, I'm convinced that in verse 23 here, that John's he's kind of making a point. He's like, hey, the big deal here isn't that Jesus did this awesome sign, did this awesome miracle where he took this bread and this fish and divided it up and there was enough for everything. The big story here is that Jesus gave thanks and Jesus fed everybody. That's the big story. The miracle, Jesus can do that if he wants to, but that's just a sign to get our attention. And the real story is giving thanks and trust in Jesus and getting the food that we need, which is kind of cool because then that means that, yeah, the big story happens every time that we gather together to eat, when we give thanks and when we eat. It's like we're joining with these people that were part of this huge miracle. The bigger story is the part of the story that we get to be a part of every day. So here's my point in this bit. And again, if you read through this chapter 6 of John, you'll see this. This story is all about being fed by Jesus, right? The signs and the miracles, they're a big deal, but they're not the big deal. They bring people out and they reinforce the main point, which is this, that Jesus is the real bread of life, and we give thanks because he is a gift that's not earned. And so before we unpack that a little bit more, a couple more things. If you skim through the New Testament, you'll see that in the Gospels and in Acts, you'll see that whenever pretty much every time that the Bible's telling us about a time when people gathered together to eat, it'll say they gave thanks and then they ate. It's like it's almost awkward, right? Because if we tell somebody, hey, I had dinner last night, usually I'm not going to say, what did you do last night? I gave thanks and then I ate, right? Like, that's not how we recount the story. Hopefully, ideally, that's true, right? We gave thanks and then we ate, but we don't tell people, hey, I gave thanks and I ate. But if you look through the New Testament, most of the cases, if not all the cases where people are eating, it says, after giving thanks, they ate. Or they gave thanks and then they ate. And it's like this detail is just thrown in there, and I believe it's to highlight that, hey, this is super important. And if you did look through those, which I did look through most of them, you'll see that there's two things that are happening here. They're kind of, sometimes it's both of them, sometimes it's one or the other. Sometimes they're giving thanks, and sometimes they're blessing the food. And so giving thanks, just saying thank you, Lord, for this food, for acknowledging that this is a gift from God, and then blessing the food and trusting or asking God to do something awesome with it, right? To nourish us, to work through that food, and to do something awesome in our lives. And so, if you look through the New Testament, if you look through Acts, and you look at the places where people eat, you'll see that every time, or at least most times, before they eat, they're either gonna bless the food, or they're going to give thanks for the food. And that's why before we eat, we would usually give thanks, or we would bless the food, and then we would enjoy it. All right, so I got 3 points today. We've got a 3-point sermon here. Here's our first point, and it's more of an instruction. Get in the habit of giving thanks for food, right? I mean, we see this habit that occurs throughout the New Testament. We see that Jesus does this all the time. He gives thanks for food. And so if you're not already in that habit, then get in the habit of giving thanks for food. Today we're kicking off a series that I'm calling Living the Life. Living the Life. And that's the graphic that's going to go along with it. And it's kind of the idea is, hey, living the life, right? And when we think of living the life, we think of this palm tree and this umbrella, right? Oh, it looks like it's a little bit cut off. You can see it better on the back screen if you want. Anyway, the idea in this series is, hey, what does it mean to be living the life for us as Christians? Like, what does that look like? And we know that sometimes when we're living the life, we take vacations. We like going where there's the palm tree and the beach and where it's nice and warm. But for us as Christians, living the life is so much different than that. It's so much more than that. And so for the next little while, we're going to be talking about living the life. And for the next 2 or 3 weeks, talking about living the life, and specifically, what are some of the habits that we have? And so that's how we got into this passage today. Because there's certain habits that we want to have. And one of these habits is giving thanks before we eat, giving thanks for our food. We want to get in the habit of giving thanks for our food. So this is going to be different for each one of us, right? And in different places. When we're out in public, right? For food with friends or with family, do we stop and give thanks together, right? Sometimes I know we all have different habits, and the point isn't to say, hey, this is how we got to do it, right? Some of us, when we go out, we when we're in public, we just like to give thanks quietly in our heads. Some of us, it's like, hey, we're all together. Let's give thanks. But what are the habits that we have? What's the habit that we have that make sure that with every meal we're giving thanks, we're blessing that food. And there's not a right answer as far as what this looks like. The habit that we want to form is giving thanks for food, right? So whatever works for us. Or when you're eating alone, right, in public or in private, do you pause to give thanks? Do you pray out loud? Do you do it more quietly in your head? Do you close your eyes for a second? The fact that it's recorded that Jesus gave thanks suggests that it was an obvious thing that everybody could see. What's the best habit that's going to help you to give thanks? If you're having trouble forming a consistent habit, it's often helpful to start by doing exactly the same thing at every meal. Or when you're at home with your family or your roommate, right? This is one of those things where it's not necessarily the head of the household, as it were, that needs to be taking the initiative. But if you're, whatever, at home with your family, if you're at home with your roommates, whoever it is that you're living with, it's appropriate to say, especially if the people you're living with are Christians, say, hey, we don't usually give thanks together. Why don't we do that today? Let's pause and give thanks here. And you've got, there's opportunities here to be discipling other people in your lives, to help them get in these habits, to help them get into a place where they're giving thanks for food, and where together you're fellowshipping and giving thanks for the food that you're about to eat. I find it strange, too, when we're at... it used to be, I think, that when you got together back in the day, it's like you always, before you started eating, you always gave thanks. And that was kind of the signal, the etiquette that, hey, now we start eating. And now that's not the case. And so sometimes we go to friends' houses that don't pray. Maybe they're not Christians or that's not their thing. And then it's like, well, when do we start, right? When do we start eating? And you've got to try. Our culture is changing as far as what the etiquette is for when we're eating and when we start and what that looks like. And so sometimes there's an opportunity there. You don't want your friends to feel all judged, right? We want to be gracious with whoever we're eating with. But if there's an opportunity to be encouraging our friends or having some conversations, then absolutely we want to do that. So again, it's recorded that Jesus gave thanks and that he had this habit just from the number of times that we see that. Before he ate. And that prompts us to get into the same habit, right? Jesus' habit prompts us to get into the same habit, and maybe the habit that we're getting into prompts others to get into that habit of giving thanks. All right. Sometimes when we get something that we deserve, right, like our wages for the day, say if you go to work and you work all day and your boss gives you the check at the end of the week, right? And then you're like, hey, thanks. And he says, hey, well, thanks for working, right? And in that case, the thanks is like you're owed the money, your boss is owed the work, and so you're giving thanks for something that is owed, right? It's like you're being polite, of course, and you appreciate having the job, your boss appreciates you working. But really, this is something that you agreed that you're going to do. You agreed you're going to work this many hours, do whatever, and your boss agreed he's going to pay you. So thanks is... you're thanking for something that you earned. But in the passage here, when we're talking about giving thanks for our food, that's not the way that it works. When we say thanks, we're saying, hey, Lord, thanks for something you've given me here. Thanks for something you've given me that I don't deserve. Right? It's not that, hey, God owes me this, and so I'm just saying thanks as a good etiquette or a good habit. It's like, yeah, this is a gift that I don't deserve. And thank you, Lord, for watching out for me, watching out for my family. Thank you for this food that we have. Please bless it and use it for whatever you want. Hi. And so this is our second point. We give thanks to remember that this is a gift from God. Some of you might say, of course, hey, well, this isn't a gift. I worked hard to provide this for my family. Friends, every breath is a gift from God, right? And likewise, everything was created by him. Everything is held together and sustained by him. And from there, everything good is a gift from God. I was on Friday at the United Way in Vulcan, put on a poverty simulation. And they had this, and I went to it. It was Friday afternoon. And it was kind of cool. You go out there, and they had a bunch of volunteers that were running different pretend shops, right? So they had the bank, and they had the grocery store, and the workplace. They had the pawn shop and the payday loan shop, and then the social services office. And then when we got here, the people that were participating in the simulation, they'd give us a scenario of who we were and who we were supposed to, how what our role was in the simulation. And so I was a 7-year-old boy that had some behavioral problems, and then you go in and you find where your family's sitting, and we were living with, in the simulation, me and my sister were living with Grandma and Grandpa, and they were raising us, and the English was their second language, and so they were just trying to make things work. And for us in particular, in this simulation, we found that we had enough money, but the problem that we had was just making everything work, right? And it reminded me a little bit of when you're a young person with the last name Lidstone, Ryan Lidstone, then everybody calls you Ryan Flintstone, right? Like, that's just how it goes. And so when I was young, I remember there was an episode of the Flintstones where Fred and Wilma kind of changed roles, right? Fred tried to do his wife's jobs, the mom's jobs, and it was one of those ones where, you know how it is, it's like he's rushing around and realizes, oh, this is super hard to do. And you watch it and you're like, well, this is, you can't just step into somebody's shoes for a day and think that you understand their story. But maybe by stepping into their shoes for a little while, or at least by stepping into a simulation sort of thing, you can get a little bit of compassion for somebody's situation, right? And so that episode came back to me as being similar to this poverty simulation, where, hey, I don't know what it's like to live with the kind of poverty that I was simulating, but it did help me to get a little bit more understanding of some of these things, right? And so we did. The family that we were part of, it went on for an hour, and they'd have like every 15 minutes would be the end of a week, and if you hadn't got all your stuff done at the end of the 15 minutes, the shops close. We had, since I was the 7-year-old then, and I needed all this special medication, and it was super expensive, so we went to, there were some social services that helped us pay for it, and it was, we show up at the social services office, and we have to fill out this form to apply for the money, and it's just, it says, the first thing is what's Grandma's social insurance number? And it's like, oh, well, we left that card at home, and we can't get back there to get it, and then it's asking all these other questions, and we fill it in as best as we can, and then we're just about finished filling in the form, and one of the people that works there says, hey, we're going to be closing in 5 minutes, so if you want to get this done today, then let's get her finished up. And so we're rushing to fill it out, and we get in and start talking to the person about this form that we filled out, and then the person that was kind of running the whole simulation said, okay, it's the 15 minutes is up, so the day is closed, so all the shops have to close. And so the manager of that shop said, yeah, it's time, they got to go home, they have to finish this tomorrow, or actually after the weekend. And then you really, when you're doing this, you really enter into it. And so the woman that was helping us, she's like, you know what, we're supposed to close now, but we can just take a couple minutes. It shouldn't take too long to get this figured out. And so she went through the form with us. And anyway, it turned out that we weren't eligible for those extra funds, but there was some other cash coming to us next month. Anyway, all that to say that there are, where each of us is in a different place, and each of us has different difficulties, and each of us is blessed in different ways. And when we give thanks for our food, it's like it forces us to have a little bit more compassion for other people that are in different situations. It forces us to maybe step away from that thing of thinking that, hey, I worked hard, I earned this, and you can do the same thing, right? Because that's not always the way that the world works. There's lots of times when no matter how hard you work, you just don't have the same resources as some other people, and you're not going to get the food that you need. And so there's an important truth that's here. And sometimes we're scared of this. Because every good gift is from God, We're worried that it will lead to some people thinking that they don't need to work. But that's not true, right? We know as Christians that God provides, and God also calls us to work. And there's a tension between these two, right? There's a tension, working and taking responsibility while recognizing that every good thing that we have is a gift from God. And friends, this is a hard thing for some of us, but it is important. We're accustomed to taking care of our own. We're accustomed to seeing the results of that, and most of us are fortunate that way. To acknowledge that the fruit of all the hard work that we've done is a gift from God, well, that can be hard. And if you bristle at this thinking, then you might benefit from acknowledging God's gifts in your life. Giving thanks for our food is a great way to do this, because there are some gifts that we receive where it's like, we can't deny that this is a gift from God, right? There's some stuff where we receive it and it's like, God, this is a miracle. Like, I needed this, and thank you. But with food, for most of us, we go to work, we go to the grocery store, and so it can be tempting to think, hey, you know what? I did this. This isn't God. This is me. And if we can get in the habit of giving thanks for our food, if we can get in the habit of giving thanks for the things that we did work for, if we can get in the habit of giving thanks for the food that we did pick up at the grocery store and acknowledging that, yeah, this is a gift from God, then that is going to change our hearts. That is going to help us to recognize every good gift that God is giving to us. All right, and then our third and final point for today. Some of you will be familiar with that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. This is where Paul's telling wives to submit to their husbands and husbands to love their wives, right? And he goes through this whole thing and he's teaching about this stuff. And then he gets to the end and he says, listen, I'm not talking, or he says, listen, what I'm talking about here is Christ in the church. It's like, oh, okay. And so then this whole teaching is really, what it's really about is Christ in the church. And if you can understand this, then you understand the relationship between Christ and the church, right? But then the next verse, he says, but nonetheless, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives, right? And so there's a similar thing going on here with this giving thanks, where really the real message, the real thing that Jesus wants us to get, and we can see that at the end of chapter 6 here, the real thing that he wants us to understand is that he is the food, right? He's the bread of life. And this miracle is just to show us that. This feeding the 5,000 is so that we could start to understand that Jesus is the real food. He's the bread of life. And when we get hungry, maybe we can associate that with what it means to be hungry for Jesus. When we feel well fed, when we've had enough to eat, maybe we can associate that with what it should feel like when we have the bread of life, when we have Jesus in our lives. But just like the Ephesians passage, even though the real message is Jesus is the bread of life, that doesn't mean that the analogy or the example or the picture isn't also true. And so absolutely, we want to be giving thanks for our food, right? We want to be recognizing this is a gift from God. And the primary message in that is that we want to be giving thanks for Jesus, right? We want to be recognizing that Jesus is a gift, that he's not something that we earned, that our salvation through him isn't something that we worked hard for, we worked hard to get, that the bread that is the bread of life, Jesus, isn't something that we earned. And so we give thanks the same way that we give thanks for our food, recognizing that Jesus is a gift. And we get in the habit of giving thanks, just like we get in the habit of giving thanks for our food, because this passage is primarily about Jesus. And so John chapter 6, verse 35, and you have to read the whole thing, but this one verse summarizes it a little bit. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, this is back again when they're on the other side of the lake and all the crowd has found him. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And so the act of eating, it reminds us about the real bread, the bread of life, about Jesus. Just like the habit of giving thanks for our food so that we can remember that it's a gift from God, we give thanks for Jesus. And this reminds us that our salvation, that is our right relationship with God, is a gift from him. And so that's it. Jesus is the real bread of life, and we give thanks because he is a gift not earned. Right? The habit of giving thanks and blessing our food, it helps us with this. So Jesus is, he's the real bread, and we give thanks because he's not something that we earned, but he's a gift. Let's pray, and then we can worship him. Heavenly Father, help us to create habits that honor you. And Lord, as we give thanks, our prayer is that as we give thanks for our food, our prayer is that this wouldn't just be something that we do, but that we would recognize that when we give thanks, we're acknowledging that the things that we have are a gift from you, and that we are asking you to work through us. And likewise, Lord, help us to get in the habit of giving thanks for Jesus and of recognizing that he is a gift. And we pray that he would continue to work in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.